We can't exercise without eating very successfully. And part of the point of exercising is not only to keep yourself in shape, but also to properly use what you have sustained yourself or fed yourself with. So I believe the idea of exercising is actually using. One way to look at it is not only rumination and meditation, as Brother Joey, but also applying and using it. And I always think of, you know, the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Jeremiah says, I ate the word, and later on he says it was fire in my bones. And Ezekiel actually ate the scroll too. And so it became part of them. Now, this doesn't necessarily help directly, because nobody here is going to actually eat it. And even then you could say, what does that mean, eat the word? Well, if I go and eat a hamburger, and then hopefully a few hours later exercise, I wouldn't do it right away. But the point is, now the hamburger is part of you, and now you're applying it. So you read these verses here, you heard the words that were spoken, all of this. Now, when you go home, there should be some sort of application. Rumination, read it again, think about it. Application. What was said? When they said, set my eyes on the things above, or set your mind on the things above, I have to do that. And so there's many different ways to do it. One suggestion is, write down one very important or clear or cogent thing that you heard today that struck your heart. There has to be one thing. If there isn't, you weren't paying attention enough. So start paying attention now and pick something in the next 10 minutes. Write it down. Seriously, write it down and look at it every morning. My affection should be on the things above. If you want to think of the family, do I have my life and my family in order? Whatever it is. And this will just a very simple way to remind you. And over, then you'll start to apply it. You'll apply it when you go in the workplace, when you go to school, and you see an opportunity for you to see or think about or feel something you might not be proper. You say, wait, my affection should be above. That is the application. Now the word is a part of you, and it will actually change who you are and make you a more effective and successful and comfortable and happy. You can add a lot of words there. Christian.
So I had found a different definition for Elon, and I also have a different one for Ibzan, so I need to be careful. But what I had found in a commentary is it means oak, which I think goes along with strength. And Lydia and I went to Charleston last year, and they were talking about these oak trees that over hundreds of years, these big, beautiful trees branching out with really thick branches, and they're so strong, the hurricanes have nothing against them, and they don't die of age, they don't decay until these bugs would come and kill them. The point just being that an oak tree starts from a small seed, and it's not overnight that it becomes this huge, big, strong individual. It's not that we come on a Sunday morning, we say, wow, my basket's empty today. You know what? Next Sunday, it's going to be full. I'm going to turn it around in 1 week. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. It's not something that you can turn around in 1 day, 1 year. It's going to continually grow. These oak trees continually strengthen and strengthen. And they need to be fed. And as we've been commenting, they need to have water and dirt and all these strength that we need. And you can also get Miracle-Gro and other supplements, and Larry Rosen has them on the shelves back there. And they can be helpful also. But it takes time, and we just need to not be discouraged when we're only a 2-foot oak tree or a 6-foot oak tree, and you know, we're vulnerable to a lawnmower just coming and taking us over. We just need to continue to feed and let the Lord strengthen us.
And it never stops. We have, you know, we've talked about brothers who are dealing with their children. Okay, now that my children are gone, I'm done. Well, the last judge, he was dealing with his grandchildren as well. He didn't get to retire. This is a never-ending process, the work of the Lord. I don't retire till I'm in heaven, and that's just a simple fact of it. The enemy doesn't stop attacking me, ever. There's never a time where I don't need the two-edged sword girded on my hip. I always need to be prepared. I always need the armor of God, always. The enemy never lets up. There never comes a time where you could say, well, I'm done. I could just put my feet up and the next generation will take over. I'd be working until the Lord calls me home, until the Lord Jesus comes to claim us. And I mean, that's what we signed up for when we accepted the Lord Jesus into our heart. And that's the challenge we face day in and day out. To have a care not just for my own well-being, but the well-being of my family, the well-being of my loved ones, the well-being of my children, the well-being of my grandchildren.
Now you tie in exercise with Zebulon, mm-hmm. which is really the truth of communion,
exactly.
really. Because you couldn't get strength if you weren't communing. If we spend no time in the book and expect that I'm going to come tomorrow and offer and have anything spiritual later in life, there'll be nothing. There'll be no strength. So how much time are we making available for the Word of God? We make available a lot of time for lots of things. We find ourselves with so much in this technologically advanced age. We are engaged with so much. But the matter of how much time we spend in the Word of God and spend living it out is what is going to be responsible for my strength.
So we have purity and then we have strength. But not that, that's not what we're left with. In these verses, we're left at the end with abdon, with service, or being a servant. Not that we might boast in our strength, but that we might use that strength in service to the Lord and for His people.
It's interesting, those three words, the three names, you just connect them all underneath, and they all have a sort of natural or nature-based meaning also. I think probably when we, there's so many different meanings for all these names, perhaps there is the actual meaning and then the applied meaning and so on. So for Ibzan, it really comes from the word ice. And then we said Elon was oak, and for Abdon, it's a cloud of judgment or a cloud. So if you look at those three, it's very nice. They're all three close here in the scripture. You have ice, you have oak, you have cloud. So we can try to connect them, perhaps one simple way. If the ice, we spoke of the purity. You can also think of your coldness towards the things of the world. The family was important to him. He had his priorities straight. The things of the world don't have to be so important to us. Yes, you can turn off your phone. Or whatever else it is. That's just one example. And then Elon, the oak, he was rooted, he was strong. These are trees that are very deeply rooted and they are strong. Oak is one of the, it's a hard wood. It's used all over us. You can, I think it's all around here too. I think you're sitting on it perhaps. And so rooted in the things of the Lord. So cold to the things of the world, rooted in the things of the Lord. And then I really like the, we had the service, but if you take the cloud of judgment. So a cloud is above something. And so being able to see things from God's perspective. So rooted in the Lord's things, cold to the things of the world. And then being able to look almost down on your own life and say, these are the things that I need to judge and get rid of. These are the things that are for the Lord and need to strengthen them.
It's a beautiful, really, I mean, you would have never thought you will get that much from studying. But that's the Word of God. It is so rich. The thing is this, you end up with, as we have heard, with, and I want to take the two meaning of the name, as we have heard, the cloud. You are really lifted up. You are really lifted up. There is an end in view. And that end is really far high above. We will be caught to meet the Lord in the cloud. So as you are doing that, you have an end in view. There is a great prospect. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It is. Because godliness does not only have the promise of this life, but also of that to come. You see somebody who fears the Lord, who lives godly, who is really, again, taking the other interpretation of the name, a servant. To be just a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you are here. And a servant is a one who is recognizing the Lordship of Christ. Remember when I said in the opening remark, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what's right in his own eyes. Here is a man who said, no, there is a king of Israel. And I'm not going to do what's right on my own side. I am going to be Abdon. I am going to be a servant. I'm going to take my order from the Lord. I'm going to take my commandment from the Lord. I'm calling him Lord, and he is really Lord. I'm going to ask him every question that I have, every issue that I face in life, what I have to do regarding to this, what I have to do regarding to that. I'm going to go and ask him, because he is my Lord. He died for me. He saved me. He gave everything for me. And he's willing to help me every step of the way. That's where we have in that judge. He is a servant. What a wonderful thing that to be called a servant of the Lord. I think it was said of Moses, Moses, my servant. God is not ashamed to say, you know what? This Moses here is my servant. I am really happy to tell you that. Could the Lord say that about me? Could he say that about me? When he sees me how I act at school or at home or in a meeting, can the Lord really be happy to say, this evil here, he's my servant. I am really, really happy because he listened to me. Put your name in there.